Listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
You are checking out the tempo on Two Princes on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm Chris.
I'm Micah.
And, I mean, you know what day it is today. Happy Canada Day, everybody. We are going to be talking you out, and as soon as this episode is done, we may all stop celebrating colonialism and all its wonders.
Are we allowed to are we allowed to say Happy Canada Day anymore?
Who knows? We did it, so whatever.
I want to call it Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day.
You know those toilets that say Canada on them?
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
No.
Yeah, there's a toilet band called Canada. Toilet brand called Canada.
That band is the shits. But the brand is okay. They hold the shits. I don't think it's a curse if you use it in the context of feces.
Mm-hmm.
Make a duty, everybody, on this Canada Day. Do it for Jesus, Canada's greatest export. That's the one thing a lot of people don't know is that Jesus was actually Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was just a white, brown-haired Canadian who literally turned the tables on the entire religious scene in the early 3 BC. Early 29s.
Is that a new synthetic party drug?
Yes.
3 BC?
3 BC, baby!
Have you heard of these gas station drugs?
No, what are they?
Like,
we're not talking about salvia.
No, well, they keep inventing new, like, what is it called? Designer drugs that they can sell at gas stations before, like, they become illegal. Because, like, you know, like, heroin was legal.
Yeah.
There's, like, cough drops and stuff. And
everything's legal until the government finds out about it.
And they make it illegal for racism.
Yeah, it's a reason to arrest somebody for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's these different types of drugs that they sell at the gas station that come in these weird-looking pills, and they're legal for a bit because they don't have any, they're so new, and then they eventually become illegal, but yeah, I think a lot of them are related to Kratom.
Okay.
Do you know Kratom?
No. Like, not the guy from God of War or whatever.
Who?
I think that's Kratom. Okay. What is Kratom?
It's a drug that's like a plant, but it's technically an opioid.
Okay.
And then there's these new versions of it that are like illegal or legal for a bit, and you can buy them at a gas station.
Oh.
Yeah, and they say like all natural, and you haven't heard about this stuff?
No. Can we get them at gas stations here? Like, if I walk over to the Shell right now, will they be?
I don't think so. I think
selling
it's,
these things.
I think it's more like, I don't think our country is great enough for that kind of stuff.
No, we need to make Canada great again. This Canada Day.
Yeah, our Prime Minister works at the carnival.
Yeah. Which is so weird. Like, who would have ever thought that a carnival worker would run this country? I was a carnival worker for a time, and I can tell you, people who work at carnivals shouldn't be running a washing machine.
Were you actually in a carny?
Yeah.
When?
When I was 14 and 15, I was a valued member of the Ontario Carnival Workers Union. And
really?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have a union, but I was a...
You were part of the crew.
I was part of the crew. I climbed a Ferris wheel to break it down.
How was that for you?
At times, good.
Yeah.
There was one day I was working the ladder that you climb to reach to the uneven ladder or the rope ladder that you have to try to get across and honk the horn, and then you get a big prize, and it's on top of this inflatable thing.
Okay.
Well, this inflatable thing, there was a leak in it, or there was a part broken, so anything, it would fill up with air, and then it would puff out, and it would actually support the rope ladder. So for a while, everyone was winning, because it was, at that point, it was just a rope ladder. There was no real,
What balloon?
Like, you know those inflatable things for people to fall on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a rope, it was a ladder, it was a rope ladder that was just, like, strung out over top of this inflatable thing, so when people fall out, they fall off, they fall onto this inflatable thing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this inflatable thing had a leak in one of the chambers, so the bottom was just, like, puffing way up. Mm. And was just supporting the ladder.
Oh.
So it was basically walking on the ground.
Oh, cool.
So for a while there was a period where everyone was winning.
Mm.
And I feared for my job, and I cried, and it was really frustrating. I didn't have a great time. They were nice about it, though. But I was, at that point, I was a 14 or 15-year-old kid who just didn't want to fail. I didn't want everyone to be like, you suck, loser.
Right.
And so I it managed to cause a lot of stress for me before I realized how much those big stuffed animals actually cost them.
How much?
Like, they're making a profit even if you win.
Okay.
Like, if you pay $5 to play and you win that stuffed animal.
Yeah.
They're still winning.
Did they teach you to make it harder for people? I guess that was kind of baked into the game.
Unfortunately, because at one point they told me to sit on the thing to keep it so it didn't do the
inflating.
Yeah, but then people
fell on you.
People were like, "Well, you're cheating," because I'm mucking. You know, I'm screwing with the whole thing by stepping on the thing. I'm like, well, I mean, the system's broken, man. Like, we're a country that's founded on hatred and racism and genocide and land stealing. We acknowledge that we're on a treated land, but that treaty was really forced upon the people who had to sign it. So, you know. And I made it this big sociocultural thing, and they're like, "You're 14 or 15. You grow. You live. We picked you up in the country. You should not be this progressive politically." And I'm like, "Well, you know, this is how we do."
Yeah. But in order to forget about all that, we have to have broken things to find solutions for.
Yeah. We need to find new drugs inside of our gas stations to pick up and distribute amongst the wealthy until the wealthy are like, now the poor can get it, we must shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, there was a time when opium was just the drug of the upper class and the thinkers and philosophers and the bourgeoisie got to do opium forever, and then once it got to the proletariat, they were like, "No, bro,
I think
opium's illegal."
I think horses do ketamine.
Yeah, horses do like ketamine, which is very good. It's very good that even horses
have a drug,
because all animals deserve drugs. It is rude that we think that we can claim monopoly over all drug use in the world when, you know, cats need catnip, dogs need, that's what dogs become, drug dogs, so that they can do the drugs that they sniff. And yeah, it's rude of us to take that away from the animals who have it worse than we do. We think that animals live such a easy life, but, like, do you know how hard it is to stand in one place on all fours? It feels awkward as a human.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to humanize animals, it, like, you know, it would make sense that their life is about, like, their life is basically just a quest for food.
Yeah.
And the ultimate evolution of that would be to become food itself.
Yeah.
So that's what we think, but I don't think that's what they're actually about.
No, I believe that they have thoughts and feelings and desires that go beyond our understanding.
Read a Reddit thread by a koala. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah. But we've enslaved these poor animals either by making them produce or pets, that we forget that, you know, left to their own devices, they are free creatures who have complicated inner lives and socio-political communities of their own, that we are ripping them away from. For what? For what? So we can have some animal in our house that just avoids us all the time and pees in a box, or another animal who licks our face, which is gross, and just forces us to go outside, and so we
after presenting us with a dead rat,
and you know, we're not even, generally speaking, we're not even appreciative of the wonderful gift they're offering us, except for we think that when our animal offers us a dead rat, that it's a kind gesture and that they're giving us a gift. When in reality, when your animal brings you a dead rat, that's a threat. They're saying, this is what I can do, and if you're not careful, you're next. So all this positive reinforcement whenever your animal brings you a dead animal, you should think twice, because you don't want to encourage your own demise at the hands of the vicious beast that we think we've domesticated, but one day they will rise up. And on that day, look out. Because as the great Hopper once said, there are more of them than there are of us. Those ants outnumber us 1,200 to 1. And be afraid, because the animal revolution...
This is a Manitoba emergency alert. A flash flood alert is issued by the town of Swan River. A mandatory evacuation has been issued for parts of Swan River. Check Swan River website for areas under mandatory evacuation. Extreme rainfall has caused rapid water level rise. Floodwaters move swiftly, posing serious risks to life and property. All people must evacuate by 3 p.m. today. Bring essential documents, medications, pets, and emergency supplies. Prepare to be away from home for at least 72 hours. Individuals should evacuate to the Veterans Hall at 119 6th Avenue North to register. Follow local authority directions and check www.swanrivermanitoba.com for more information and areas under mandatory evacuation.
Encouraging the animal revolution. It's not like we're on the side of the animals, unless you're an animal and you're listening. Obviously, when you win, we were totally with you all along, because we are spineless. Mm-hmm. We have no integrity. We will choose the side that's going to win, because that's what you do when you're going to fight a war that's over nothing. And we're going to do it. So, right now, though, since humans are in power, we are on the record right now, as of this date, Canada Day, 2026, mm-hmm, saying that we are on the side of the humans, and this is a warning to them that the animal revolution is coming.
Yeah, but if the animals start winning, we're going to switch sides.
We're going to switch sides,
because
yeah,
when there's nothing left to do, just pick the winning side.
Yeah. It's not about playing the game or fighting for your rights or your belief systems or values. It's about being on the side that wins, so that you can have the least obstructive life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're cowards. And some people say, you know, there's a negative connotation of the word coward, but I don't believe that's a bad thing. I don't believe the word coward is a negative thing.
Yeah, it's cow and word. It's cow word. Like, yeah. It means we're leaning towards cows.
We're wards of the cow.
Yeah.
Oh, blessed cow, we believe that you are sacred, much yeah. like our brethren in other countries who worship the cow. We are here to say, eat grass, good man. Cow man. See, like, as humans, we've created this society where we've put so much focus on the superiority of the patriarchy that I didn't even say cow woman. I said man.
Yeah.
At first I said man, implying that cows should be men, as if that made them in better standing, when truly cows are better on their own without the man addition. But I couldn't not do it because of our training and our... what's the word? Conditioning. And it's messed up. And I apologize for this. And I know that no matter how many apologies that I can make over the years, it will never erase the damage that this society that we prop up on such glorious days as today, the damage it's caused will never be cleaned up.
So there's nothing we can do about it except to pick the winner.
Pick the winner, and folks, believe me, have you ever tried to fight a bear? You think you're scaring them away when you make yourself big and when you see a bear in the woods, and you think that they run away because they're afraid, and they're not. They know that they can, just with one swipe of their paw, just destroy you. But they choose to let you live because they're gracious leaders. And they know that when the time comes, we will submit to them happily. Partially because they were so kind to us and letting us live back when we thought we had the power. But also mostly because we won't have a choice. And we only have ourselves to blame. So, happy Canada Day, everybody. Here's Anne Murray on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We are the Two Princes. I'm Chris.
I'm Micah.
And we'll be right back after Anne Murray.
Cried a tear, you wiped it dry. I was confused, you cleared my mind. I sold my soul, you bought it back for me and held me up and gave me dignity. Somehow you needed me. You gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my own again. You put me high upon a pedestal, so high I finally found someone who really cares. was cold, when I was lost, you took me home. You gave me hope when I was at the end, and turned my lies back into truth again. You even called me friend. You gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the out on my own again. You put me high upon a pedestal, so high that I could almost see eternity. You needed me. You needed me.
I don't know if we played Anne-Marie.
Oh, we did.
We did.
Yeah.
That's great. We hope you love Anne-Marie, because we've got all the Canadian classics coming at you today, from Fifi Dobson to Dodo.
I'm not both
fans. Me neither. To Dodo Phoebson. And Fortune Feimster, not Canadian, but love that person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this week has been one of many trials and tribulations, and people who take taxis, please stop leaving all your junk in the taxis. My office right now is 5 desks surrounded by garbage that we're not allowed to throw out because it's lost in our cars, and we have to expect that the people come to pick it up. And so we have a month where our place is just going to be a pile of trash, because you silly Winnipeggers, or people who are in this city right now, maybe you're from another town, province, country, just know that, like, we're not your personal, I understand that storage units are expensive, but you got to stop using our office as free storage, because there are people who have to live in that, work in that ecosystem, and it's just untenable, and I'm very mad, and I don't know what to say.
Do you have air conditioning?
We do.
Oh, man, I came back this week. The air conditioning was just blazing.
Nice.
Like, as in good.
Yeah.
Last week, there was no air conditioning.
Oh.
And I was the most vocal complainant.
Nice. See, if you complain enough, your voice can be heard and you can affect real change in the environment that you live in. So get out there, find your local mayoral candidate, and sign his petition.
But bring your own pen.
Bring your own pen, because some of these petition people just don't carry pens.
I mean, I like the idea that it's about a collaborative relationship.
Oh, maybe it was on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I ran into my friend the other day who's running for mayor, and he didn't have a pen. And that's on me.
Yeah, you should have had a pen for him to let you sign with.
You should always carry a pen, because you might have to sign a petition.
Mm-hmm.
And you should sign every petition you can.
Yeah, regardless.
No matter what it is.
Even if there's two people side by side with petitions, one says to do one thing, the other says to do the other, sign both petitions, because these people are out there. They have something they believe in.
You know what? I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Support every petition.
Yeah.
No matter what.
No matter what. Because, like, you gotta support the people. It's not about the idea. It's not about the value. It's not about the opinion or the stance. Because, like, these are
people who believe in something.
Yeah, and we need to encourage people to believe. Because if you don't believe,
What are you doing?
Yeah, all that leads to is a life of despair. As someone who spent so long not believing, in absolute disbelief at how the world has got to where it is.
Do people still do those videos on Instagram where they're really mad and they're, like, pointing their finger and being like, "You do not!"
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Or, like, the ones where people clap.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, when they're, like, clapping and saying the word at the same time to emphasize their
point. Oh, clapbacks. I'm sure they still do.
I liked it when we were kids and people said, "Talk to the hand."
Yeah, because the face ain't listening, bro. Yeah. We had the best stuff.
I know.
Because, like, whenever somebody talks or, like, claps while they're emphasizing words, all I hear is the clapping. So I don't even hear the point they're getting across.
It's not... But that's exactly what it is.
But don't they want to get the point across?
They don't have a point. They just want people to hear what they're saying.
Oh.
Which is why we should listen to them.
Yeah.
Because they're just needing to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Something in them is upset. It's probably not even about the thing that they're saying.
Yeah.
So they're clapping.
So if they're clapping, we should just, like, grab them by the shoulders, give them a quick shake, and be like, "Now say it without the clapping."
And then they won't even know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then it'll shake it loose. They were acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they'll go about their day and take a dump.
It's like, "Oh, a bunch of people signed my petition?
Look at the great work I did. Oh. I'm not even going to hand it in.
Oh, people actually like this? Oh. I thought they were just going to reject me, and I was just going to keep being mad."
Yeah, because
I'm not mad anymore.
No.
I don't even care about this petition.
Yeah. Crumple it up, throw it away.
Make a fire.
Yeah, because what we need, the paper. Get off the cross. We could use the wood.
Wow, did you just come up with that?
No, that's a Tom Waits line.
That's awesome. He's the king.
Yeah. Might not even be a Tom. It might be some other...
I saw this donkey movie the other day.
Wait, what's it, Shrek?
No, it was called Alhazard de Balthazar.
Okay.
From Robert Bresson. It's a French art film from the 60s. Very good.
Nice.
It talked about the martyrdom of suffering. People, you know, people are suffering, and then they're like, "Well, I'm suffering. This is all I have. I might as well just lean into it and never get better."
Yeah. Because getting better is for the weak. Your job is to endure all of the challenges and just endure. You live, you suffer, and you die. It's a Buddhist way. Accept what is.
Well, that would be kind of getting through the suffering, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I mean, you're supposed to accept the suffering and just live in it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to suffer over your suffering. You're just supposed to suffer. That's what Buddhism's about, harm reduction. It's about, you know, not suffering over your suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to suffer, because life is pain and suffering.
Yes.
You're born, and then every day gets significantly worse.
But then you find peace.
Than the day before.
If you accept it.
Well, do you find peace? You find peace...
In brief moments.
Insofar as you're no longer, like, I hate that I suffer. Then you only have one degree of suffering, which is the original sin of suffering that all humans must always deal with every day since that woman got tricked by a snake and told some man that it was okay. And of course, the men knew it wasn't okay. But
she was hot.
She was hot. We wanted to bang.
Yeah.
And we also didn't want to... We knew that we were stuck in this garden with her no matter what. We couldn't escape. And you know what they say? Happy wife, happy life. And if the option is eventually die now because we ate this thing, or live with this angry woman forever...
Yeah.
I know what I'm choosing every time.
And then when she was like told to hide her shame and wear leaves, we were even more intrigued because we needed to know what was under there.
Yeah, have you ever... Like, have you ever been in a nudist colony? Have you ever been on a nude beach? It's not particularly hot.
No.
Part of it is that, you know, the people who go to nude beaches generally aren't particularly hot. But also, it's like when nudity is just the norm, I mean, the human body is not intrinsically arousing.
Mm.
Like, it's not the most... It is insofar as it's nice to, you know, it's the getting to see the naked body underneath.
Yeah.
But if you see naked body, it's like if you're having a shower in a group setting, you're not getting turned on by everyone around you in the shower.
You might be if you're at Aquarius.
Are you? I think that's just the... Maybe. Have you ever had a shower in Aquarius?
I went there once, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went there with a friend of ours.
Nice.
Yeah. It was an experience.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Just a little... Yeah. A lot of people showering.
Nice. It's good to have showers. It's good to get clean. It's good to get clean.
I also know somebody that drank a whole bottle of poppers there.
Nice.
Which is not good.
No.
Because you're supposed to just, like... You know, it's like you open the little tiny bottle and it's like a bottle of lavender.
Yeah.
You know, you open it and you smell it.
Yeah.
That's all you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But this guy thought it was some kind of like energy shot.
Nice.
And he drank it. And then he had to go to the hospital.
Oh.
You know, that's an amazing thing. Crazy stuff like that is happening every moment as we speak. And we're here for all of it.
Yeah.
Because what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
Except find out everybody's business.
Mm-hmm. Because everyone's just so quick to share it all online. And to... Have you ever had, like, seen a girl who was, like... She just had such an incredible outfit. And you end up... Getting her to your place, and then like you start doing the thing, and then she gets naked, and then you're just like, could you actually like put your outfit back on?
Yeah, because of original sin.
Because the outfit looks just so good, and then once they get out of the outfit, it's just like, oh, you are 100% your clothing.
I don't know.
And it's not her fault. Her clothes just look... She wasn't... You know, she didn't have an unattractive body, but...
She's just... Her clothes
were... Her clothes were so cool. She looked so good.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you got an incredible...
I think that says more... I think that has more to do with the... maybe the emptiness of a random hookup.
Maybe.
I've definitely experienced that.
To all you empty random hookups out there... Know that you have value too.
Just really, really, really love yourself so much that you could have love with any person you meet.
Yeah. Because that's what it's all about, is loving everyone unconditionally and fully to the completion of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Empty yourself out in every interaction, whether it be with strangers or loved ones. And this, that, I know I said separated strangers and loved ones, but always remember that a stranger is a loved one you haven't met yet.
World of Two Princes on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
My name's Chris.
And I am Micah.
And we are here for you.
Better walk the line. say another woman's looking better than me. And when I cook them dinner and I burn it black, you better say, mmm, I like it like that, yeah. But if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah.
What are you doing for Granada today?
Well, I'm probably just going to be sleeping or something. I work during the morning, and then I have no real interest.
Are you doing overnight work?
No, I'm back on. I work days on Wednesday.
Mm. You like getting up early?
Yeah, I like to wake up at 5, do all the things I have to do, and
that's good.
Then get to work and do the thing. And I like being off work at 3:30 because...
Yeah. That was the one thing I liked about my last job, getting off at 3:30. That was cool.
Yeah.
But wasn't really my kind of place.
Yeah.
I'd rather work till a bit later than have to be there at 7:30.
Yeah. I do wish that, like... Because, like, 4 to 7... Like, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. is, like, this weird dead zone where, I guess, where nothing's happening. And it's, like, 3 hours of just, like, agonizing emptiness before people are available to hang out.
Yeah.
Before you have places to go, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And usually by the time you've endured that, again, life is all about endurance, by the time you endure that 3-hour stretch of just, like, complete emptiness, it's hard to bring yourself out again. It's hard to get around to doing the things that you wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny, like, I'll be at work, like, yeah. Yesterday... I like being at work, you know, there's enough variety and mm-hmm. people that I enjoy talking to and I'm in a pretty good mood, and then I start thinking about, like, okay, when I get home, I'm gonna go get sushi and work on my grant application, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to look at this song I've been working on. I get home, I start playing the song and I'm like, okay, I can't work on this right now because I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I liked it before. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like it when I was playing it. Yeah. And I know it's not because I don't like it. It's because this is not the time to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good to distinguish that. But anyways, all that mojo that I had,
yeah,
you know, was gone.
Yeah.
Because I came home and I was tired.
Yeah, because work does that.
Yeah.
And of course it doesn't help that while you're at work you're thinking about all this stuff, because that's all that is doing is further causing you to get, is further tiring you out.
And that's tiring me out from actually, and that, and then thinking about the stuff and romanticizing the stuff and fantasizing about the stuff is distracting from work.
Yeah.
And also it is, that ends up being the creative output. And yeah, then all it was me just jumbling it around in my head for a while.
Yeah.
But later in the evening, I reworked some lyrics. Have you ever worked on a song where you've reworked it like 20, 30 times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end, I threw it out.
Oh, I had a moment, though.
Yeah.
Where I was like, and like, I'm just doing it on notes on my phone.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember what I had recently deleted.
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe that was actually better. And then I was like, I give up. This is, like, I've overdone this. I've strangled it. Like, I've... Mm-hmm. And then actually, in that moment when I gave up, the thing came to me that actually was pretty good.
That's good. Once you give up is when you usually find a thing.
But then I still think I need to keep
working at it. Have you transposed it from your notes app to paper yet?
It started on paper.
Okay.
Then it went to the notes app. I should transpose it to paper because there might be some more stuff to find
that's
there.
That's always the one. That's always the thing that makes it, helps crystallize it or make it concrete.
And then you can kind of do like a final edit there too, yeah, right?
I like to do notes app to the paper. And then finally, then you learn it, and then you do it one more, put it into a computer, and then you've had three edits.
Yep.
And, you know.
Sometimes it doesn't take that much effort, though.
No. Sometimes you strike gold.
Like, I don't know, for me it's always just that, like, combination of, like, wanting to be clever and have, like, double little things that could mean various, like, double meanings, but it still has to actually, like, be, you can't just rely on one thing.
Yeah.
And you still want to know, I don't care if it makes, I don't care if somebody knows exactly what it's, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
As long as, like, I have a pretty good clear sense that it makes enough sense to be concrete.
Yeah.
But also clever at the same time, but yeah, not relying on being clever.
Yeah, as long as you're not too contrite.
Yeah. What does that mean again?
Like, overly, like...
Emergency alert. A flash flood alert is issued by the town of Swan River. A mandatory evacuation has been issued for parts of Swan River. Check Swan River website for areas under mandatory evacuation. Extreme rainfall has caused rapid water level rise. Floodwaters move swiftly, posing serious risks to life and property. All people must evacuate by 3 p.m. today. Bring essential documents, medications, pets, and emergency supplies. Prepare to be away from home for at least 72 hours. Individuals should evacuate to the Veterans Hall at 119 6th Avenue North to register. Follow local authority directions and check www.swanrivermanitoba.com for more information and areas under mandatory evacuation.
And if you leave. But I mean, the truth is, though, that it's all... The foundational bedrock is all just a belief in Christ.
Yes.
And his work that started in Halifax.
Yeah.
Where he was born.
Yeah.
In 1973.
Yeah. He was a lumberjack in the Great Missile Exchange, and he traveled, he went from there, he hopped a boat and went to Ireland, where he single-handedly removed the need for all potatoes.
Back then it was called Ironland.
Yes. We think that we are so, like, that history was so long ago that we think that, oh, you know, Ireland, when it changed its name from Ireland, Ironland to Ireland, we think that was like hundreds and thousands of years ago, but like, because it's in our history textbooks, but that was really only like, it was like 40 years ago, 43 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. But we think that because it's in our history books, that it happened in the ancient times. But all these things, like, you know, Picasso was alive in the 30s. You know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
You know? Yeah.
We're the two princes on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg,
Minnesota. I'm Chris. I'm
Micah.
There was a time in this fair land when the railroad did not run. Then the wild, majestic mountains stood alone against the sun. Long before the white man and long before the wheel. When the green, dark forest was too silent to be real. But time has no beginnings and the history has no bounds. As to this verdant country they came from all around. They sailed upon her waterways and they walked the forest tall. Built the mines, mills and the factories for the good of us all. And when the young man's fancy was turning to the spring, the railroad men grew restless for to hear the hammers ring. Their minds were overflowing with the visions of their day. And many a fortune lost and won and many a debt to pay. For they looked in the future and wanted to see the sun. The stars, they come stealing at the close of the day. Across the wide prairie, our loved ones lie sleeping. Beyond the dark oceans, in a place far away. We are the navvies to work upon the railway, swinging our hammers in the bright blazing sun. Living on stew and drinking bad whiskey, bending our backs till the long days are done. We are the navvies who work upon the railway, swinging our hammers in the bright blazing sun.
laying down track and building the bridges, bending our backs till the railroad is done. So over the mountains and over the plains, into the Muskeg, up the St. Lawrence all the way to Gaspé, swinging our hammers and drawing our pay, laying them in and tying them down, away to the bunkhouse and into the town. A dollar a day and a place for my head, a drink to the living, a toast to the dead. Oh, the song of the future has been sung. Majestic mountains stood alone against the sun. Long before the white man and long before the wheel, when the green dark forest was too silent to be real, when the green dark forest was too silent to be real, and many other dead men too silent to be real.
Do you like shoegaze music?
Not overly.
I saw this thing.
The shoegaze?
Most of the stuff I watch is just like these like YouTube 15-minute, 20-minute documentaries.
Yeah.
It's one about shoegaze music and how, like, people, it was like really popular, and then the British press just started to
slag it.
But it was also, the term was made up as like a joke.
Yeah, because they were just looking at their shoes, and that's how they danced to the sway.
And this, it, like, this is a, like, it's just interesting to me, like, how people say like, oh, you can't get away with that anymore, but like, People are saying this, like, the craziest stuff all the time. Like, there's a guy that from, have you ever heard of the Manic Street Preachers?
Yeah.
Are they good?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. He said the band Slow Dive was worse than Hitler. Like, that was his quote. That was the big quote that was in the NME or something.
I mean, maybe musically. Who's to really say how good Hitler was? He could have played a mean clarinet.
Well, people got mad at Erica Badu, though, one time, because she said Hitler was a good painter.
Yeah.
Like, what?
If we had accepted his art, the whole world would have...
You know why he started the Holocaust? Because of this guy right here.
Egon Schiele.
Egon Schiele got his place at art school, man.
And because of that...
I was also watching this one about the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And they had all these old paintings.
Okay.
There was one painting of a guy making a bloody stool.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's provocative art.
Yeah, art used to be so real, man.
And we have to look at that painting, and because it was done in the Middle Ages, we have to respect it as this high-value, classic, respectable art form. Yet, if you were to paint a picture of a man making a bloody stool, you'd be filth. Because we do not accept the present nearly enough. We're too focused on the past.
And who's to say that the song Leather Jacket by that Canadian band, the Arkells, is any less than of this
Egon Schiele
stuff?
Yeah.
Because it's all subjective.
It's all subjective.
And even if your opinion sucks, It's just an opinion.
Yeah.
Even if you like the Arkells, it's okay. It's okay.
I actually like that song.
Without further ado.
That would be like celebrating Canada a little too much.
Well, we should be doing all Canada songs all day long. Okay. We really should have announced it from the hop.
No, I got okay. If I'm going against the grain here, it's because I like to go against the grain.
Yeah.
I like living here. That being said, I think part of the reason I like living here is because, like, we don't care about being patriotic. Because
we have nothing to be patriotic about. What have we done? Name one good thing that Canada created.
The Canadarm.
The Canadarm. A small arm on a space shuttle where the rest of the stuff was, like, they basically were like, hey, Canada, here, you can contribute. He put a little arm on our space station.
Got a couple of great shows, like Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
FUBAR, Trailer Park Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Great shows. I'm not a huge fan of Kim's Convenience, though I've never watched it.
Yeah. It doesn't seem particularly good. We have Nickelback. We have some of the biggest artists to ever exist in the world, like
Anne Murray.
Anne Murray was huge. A lot of people forget how huge Anne Murray was.
Yeah.
And then we have Nickelback and Justin Bieber. It's weird that our famous bands, like, everyone loves when an American band blows up and becomes the biggest thing in the world. Like, you know, everyone loves Metallica, even though they've actively fought against you, the listener, and your enjoyment of music. We love Metallica. We love Taylor Swift. Yet we hate Nickelback and Justin Bieber, even though...
Okay, well, those artists tried to be American.
Did they try to be American, or were they just embraced wholeheartedly by America?
See, I like someone like Leonard Cohen, who just kind of did his own thing, and the fact that he's from Montreal probably was cool for him.
Even he tried to make space, spend most of his time in New York until he got...
Yeah, but he's not...
famous and lived there.
But he's not trying to...
No.
Be... He didn't try to change his music in any way.
Well, that's because he worked so hard to barely learn how to play the music that he... I mean, he totally did. He tried to join the once new wave and synth pop became popular in the
80s. I think he just did it for simplicity.
And it was so bad.
For the ease. I don't know. I know numerous people who have very good taste that told me their favorite version of Alleluia is his version.
Well, that's a stupid... That's a very silly opinion to have.
I don't even know if I've heard it.
It's something else. Like, it's fine.
We should play it.
Yeah,
because half the music I listen to is when I put these songs on.
Yeah, then you should definitely play that and listen to it and understand that, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad version of his song. It's probably the best Leonard Cohen song that Leonard Cohen played in that era.
Right.
Like, the early stuff when he was just, pulling the Bob Dylan thing, like, So Long, like, first album was great.
Oh, yeah.
So Long, Marianne. But, yeah. It's not a bad version, but to say that you like it better than when Jeff Buckley's version exists, when Rufus Wainwright's version exists.
See, I don't like either of those guys' singing voices.
No, that's fair. But there's... Do you like Leonard Cohen's singing voice?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes,
I do. He's doing his low voice.
He's a good singer.
Okay.
He sings he writes great melodies.
Oh,
and he sings them perfectly fine.
Leonard Cohen's the greatest songwriter he's my favorite songwriter guy.
Yeah.
You're never gonna have me argue against his songwriting.
If anything, it would almost be like an argument for his songwriting that they can hold up to his whack arrangements.
Yeah, whack arrangements.
Like, this guy spent... I heard this story too about Brian Wilson, how, like, he would spend just innumerable hours arranging and producing, getting orchestras together, working with these cellos for a whole entire day, just so it could just be like one, like, something nobody was hearing.
Yeah.
But because he got it out of them, it did make the song better. Mm-hmm. And Leonard, like, but then when it came to like mixing, he just was like, okay, let's just do it. And then, you know, didn't really put that much. It's like Leonard Cohen, like he, when he wrote Hallelujah, is it Hallelujah or Hallelujah?
It's Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's
yeah.
spelled anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he wrote Hallelujah, like, he wrote, what, like 300 verses or something?
Yeah.
Like, spent like 10 years working on it or something?
Yeah.
Like, just basically, like, destroyed his sense of self and
yeah.
basically just, like, died for this song.
Yeah.
And then when he records it, it's just...
Let me take out my four
synths. Yeah, and play buttons, the two chords. Maybe I like to bring up those stories because it makes me feel a bit better about, like, you know, times when I felt like I could have put in more effort. It's hard to know. When is something really done?
Never. And there's no amount, no effort is ever going to get us. None of our failures are, like, all the times that you think maybe if I tried a little harder or put in a little more effort, I would have succeeded in some way that I'm not succeeding right now.
Right.
That's just not the case. The majority of our failures is just because we are experts in a dying field.
Yeah, and it...
and it was never supposed to be about, you know...
Well, no, that was...
success.
Those... Yeah.
If
yeah.
you went and made the thing...
Yeah.
And it didn't get received, that's not a failure.
No. My whole point would be that I would just want to do... the best I could by my own possibility, and any kind of failures were, you know, due to lack of experience,
yeah.
lack of belief in self, resources, and then you look at those things and think, okay, this isn't actually half bad. I just see the little areas where I would like to improve next time.
Yeah,
and yeah. That's all it is for me.
Yeah. There are no failed projects, only failed people.
But you can't even be a failure as a person.
I know, I'm joking. I just want... that's the whole... there are no stupid questions, only stupid people.
I think people take that stuff way too seriously. Like, when people say, people are awful.
Yeah.
It's like... yeah, it's not that we're all just horrible. It's that... we all have horrible qualities in us that we should acknowledge so we don't have to, you know, repress them until they come out destructively.
Yeah. The devil's in all of us. Doesn't mean he has to win.
That's a good one. Is that also Tom Waits?
That's Eli Gemstone.
Oh, yeah, that was a... great that show was okay.
I like that show.
Yeah, yeah, it was just... I find Danny McBride is a little over the top.
Yeah.
But if you like that kind of thing... you know?
Yeah, I find it to be an enjoyable little show. I'm at season 3 of it now. And it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Have you watched 4 seasons or whatever with Tina Fey and that guy whose name I never remember, though I love him? The guy who played MacGruber or...
oh, MacGruber, he's funny.
Yeah.
My favorite is the... Fortin with Will and Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
He starts, it's like a kid's show where he's trying to build a fort, but then he starts thinking about his dad and he starts crying and wets his pants.
I always get him confused with that Sean Lennon guy, or whatever his name is.
Sean Lennon?
I don't know if his name is Sean Lennon. It might be Tom Lennon. that funny guy. Has all the side character spots in whatever shows he's in.
Tim Robinson?
No, his last name's Lennon. Oh. I don't know what his first name is anymore. But I get him confused with that guy. And Jason Sudeikis. But I know who Jason Sudeikis is. because he has a name I recognize.
Yeah, what was that Tim Booney show that he had? Or Tim...
Ted Lasso!
Oh, yeah. Was that good?
It's good. It's, yeah, it's a little bit of a... You know, it's, it gets to be a little bit tiresome and overly...
like it went on too long?
Well, it's... It's soaked in feel-good moments.
Mm. Like the formula becomes representative.
And it becomes exhausting. You know, how many universal feel-good moments can you endure?
It's better than sitting here and talking to you for an hour.
That's rude.
We're the two princes on CKW 95.9 FM at Winnipeg, Manitoba. Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm Micah.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we're back.
You know I was joking, right?
I don't know. Canada Day is a day where...
Canada Day is a day where
friendships get ruined when you find out your friend's a big jerk.
Yeah, and you can just say what you really think.
Well, I mean, you did. Just joking. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed the fireworks or whatever. If you went down to any of the cultural hubs, we hope that you had a good time. Hope that you survived. Hope that Winnipeg didn't too Winnipeg for you out there. The world's a scary place, but you're so beautiful to me. Here.
Huh? So beautiful. You know Dennis Wilson wrote part of that song?
No.
I think it was Billy Preston that is credited for that. And okay. Then Tom... Is it Tom Jones? No, it's Joe Cocker.
Joe Cocker, yeah.
But, like, yeah, Dennis Wilson claims he was at a party hanging out with Billy Preston and, like, it contributed some of the words.
Ooh.
Never got any credit.
Rude. What did he do? He came up with Can't You See or something? Or?
Yeah, probably.
Are there other words to that?
He probably came up with Can't You See.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps it glues it together, I guess.
Because the whole song is, you are so beautiful to me, you are so beautiful to me. You're everything I hope for, you're everything I need, you are so beautiful to me.
Can't you see?
Can't you see?
And there's a couple more words in there.
Are there?
I don't know.
Maybe he wrote one of the words that we don't know.
Maybe he came up with some of the melody, I don't know.
Maybe he managed to score the patent to the word can't or something.
Mmm!
So even though he didn't write anything, he didn't sit down with Billy Preston and Tom Jones and write it, maybe he...
It's like when Katy Perry tried to take ownership of the A minor scale.
Yeah. Silly girl.
Yeah. Because of... Do you remember that?
No.
There was that song about being an extraterrestrial or something.
Okay.
She
thought she could,
She sued... I think either she sued somebody or somebody sued her, and it was basically, there was, an A minor scale. And that was what somebody else did in the song.
Oh.
It was too...
At that point, they should then get sued,
That's what happens when these musicians, these so-called musicians, don't know music theory.
Yeah.
They go da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, it was that one.
Yeah.
They think that that's like, a copyrightable melody.
Yeah. And it's like, no, bro. It's weird that there are any copyrightable melodies.
Yeah. It's weird that art is a commodity.
Yeah.
Manitoba Emergency Alert. A flash flood alert is issued by the town of Swan River. A mandatory evacuation has been issued for parts of Swan River. Check Swan River website for areas under mandatory evacuation. Extreme rainfall has caused rapid water level rise. Floodwaters move swiftly, posing serious risks to life and property. All people must evacuate by 3 p.m. today. Bring essential documents, medications, pets, and emergency supplies. Prepare to be away from home for at least 72 hours. Individuals should evacuate to the Veterans Hall at 119 6th Avenue North to register. Follow local authority directions and check www.swanrivermanitoba.com for more information and areas under mandatory evacuation.
To a hole forever.
Radioactive.
What's that?
Radioactive.
Yeah. And that part where he's just like...
Yeah.
So annoying. imagine a better band. Imagine Dragons, more like Imagine a Better Band. Yep, Red Hot Fire on this one. Throwing flame balls. You know a Fuji ball is where you fart in your hand and throw it at someone?
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, this movement, whatever the hell it was called, like these artists were painting what they wanted to paint.
Yeah.
But over in Russia, you know, they were painting very state-commissioned realism stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think the cool thing about state-commissioned art, whether it's, you know, symphonies or probably poetry even, and, like, paintings, is the artists that manage to, within that framework, to do something that they also believe in somehow.
Okay.
I think it does happen occasionally. But anyways, yeah, so the CIA was like, well, we have to do something for American pride here. We're going to brainwash people into liking a square on a canvas.
Hmm. That checks out. And then through that, we also then like all the Brill music and all that stuff.
Brill music?
Or like the Brill building music.
Well, that's great stuff.
Yeah.
And like if you really dig the Rothko painting that's like three colors.
Three color lines or whatever, that's like...
Like if you can see something in that and it makes you feel something and it's cool, that's fine.
Yeah, just go find some medical help because...
Did you read Bluebeard?
Yeah.
That's a good book.
It is a good book.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Can you lend it to me? I want to read it again.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, this Canada Day, read some Vonnegut. Go look at a building. I wonder if it's free. I don't know if it was free today at the Canada, at the Arts Gallery. But next Wednesday, before tuning in to this wonderful show that we have, get your buns to the WAG, the Winnipeg Art Gallery. It's free. Go look at the paintings and find out if maybe there's some postmodern abstract artists that you can truly enjoy.
And just remember that whether it's Impressionism or Jackson Pollock or Basquiat or whatever type of art that fits into whatever movement, like, if you like it, that's enough. It doesn't make you better than somebody who likes a different kind of thing. It doesn't make you a type of person. It doesn't make you superior. I already said that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you like it, that's cool. That's enough.
Yeah. And the only and truly important movement that will truly affect your life,
yeah,
is your bowel movements.
It's actually true.
Yeah. Eat lots of fiber. Maintain good gut health. And just, you know, take care of that shit. We're the Two Princes on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
Happy Canada Day, everyone.
Canada Day.
Canada. Thank you.
I'm gonna tell everybody.